The Des Moines Arts Center recently opened a show dedicated to philanthropist, art historian, feminist, civic and social activist Elise Noun. I'm Jacqueline Hallbloom for Iowa Public Radio's Iowa Art Showcase, and joining me today, we're fortunate to be speaking with Allison Ferris, who is the Des Moines Arts Center senior curator and who organized the Elise Noun exhibit. And the exhibit is called In the Spirit of Elise Noun, and it continues now through September 2nd at the Des Moines Arts Center. So, Allison, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Elise was really an amazing woman, and she lived between 1908 and 2002 and was really way ahead of her time. Tell us a little bit of background about her.
Elise has a very interesting story. She was born here in Des Moines to a fairly wealthy Jewish family, and she grew up with, I think, a father who was somewhat removed and a mom who was very domineering. Her mom seemed to have very specific ideas of what her children would pursue as adults, and Elise was cited as the artist of the family. Whether or not she wanted to be an artist or not, I don't think was taken under consideration. But she did, I think, finally come to really love art and actually eventually went to school at Radcliffe Harvard for art history and museum studies. And while she was there, she really enjoyed learning about art history. She traveled to Europe. And when she completed her MA, she asked her professor how she could find a job and asked for some tips from him in terms of how to become a professional. And he told her that she should probably just go back to Des Moines and get married. And Elise was devastated by this. She didn't necessarily recognize it as the culture of the time that, you know, the culture believing that women should indeed just go home and get married and not have jobs. It was a patriarchal culture. And I think instead she took it very personally and thought that her professor was saying that she wasn't, you know, up to the job of working professionally as an art historian or curator or museum professional. But my sense is that probably made her more determined than ever to prove him wrong, and that she did. And she did that by collecting some very significant artists over the course of her adult life. And later in life, she decided to focus on collecting only women artists. And then the Art Center, we were lucky enough to be given that collection by Elise when she passed in 2002.
So after this, the supposable friend
yes.
gave her this interesting news, she did return to Des Moines and she got married.
She did just that. Yes, she did what was told for a little while longer. Then I think her world changed. I don't know what it was exactly that made her change, but she definitely stopped doing what people told her she needed to do.
Well, it was kind of interesting because you mentioned that she was there for sort of the ground laying of the Des Moines Arts Center, and there was a lot of politics going on then, and people weren't too happy because she was outspoken and she was taking charge.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think she felt like she was a professional. I mean, she went to Harvard and was trained by, you know, the best professors in the world. And so she felt like she should, you know, be consulted, that she had a lot of good things to contribute to the conversation of starting the Arts Center. And I think it was a fair assumption on her part.
Tell us about her major role in the foundation of the Des Moines Arts Center and how she really brought some unique and wonderful things into it that may not have been there if she hadn't been there.
Yes. Well, so she spent a certain amount of time on the board of directors, and then she really made her biggest impact by participating in the acquisitions committee. She, from what I understand, never missed a meeting. And acquisitions committee is when usually the director brings art to the committee to basically make an argument as to why it should enter the collection. And it can enter the collection either through gift or through using monies that are set aside specifically to collect artwork. She was an active member on that acquisition committee. I think she was very supportive of the sort of adventurous collecting that was happening at the Art Center and continues to happen there. And of course, at the same time, she was collecting work too. So she really knew what was happening in the contemporary art world and also historically with women's art. And so she definitely took some chances with artists such as Barbara Kruger and Kiki Smith and some very well-known artists now who were less known when she was actually buying them. So she had a great eye and she could spot artists and their work, and she would, you know, bet on them by buying the work. And most of her bets have played out very well, especially for the Art Center.
Well, she was known for, at one point in her lifetime, when she started selling off all the men artists' works that she owned and started buying women's work and turned that corner. She really made that decision that she was going to consciously do that.
She did, and she was really ahead of her time in terms of making that kind of decision, because that was not a practice that many collectors focused on just women artists. So, like I said, we have a great collection because of her foresight.
And she started a young women's organization through the Art Center.
It wasn't through the Art Center. It was a separate project, the Young Women's Resource Center. Louise had many, many projects. And she started the Young Women's Resource Center with some colleagues to address what at the time was called a phenomena of girls who are running away, runaway girls. And it was a way of helping these young women who were in trouble in one way, shape, or form. And she wanted to create a center where they could go, they could get counseling, they could feel like they belonged to a community, they could learn practical things they needed to know about, you know, just living life. And that organization has continued to today. The Young Women's Resource Center is, in fact, actually celebrating its 40th anniversary this year. And that was sort of the inspiration for the exhibition. The Young Women's Resource Center came to the Art Center and asked if we could put up some of Louise's collection in the Art Center so that their community could come and see their benefactor's contribution to the Art Center. And I'm new to Des Moines, and when I learned about the Young Women's Resource Center, I was very excited about what their mission was. So, of course, I wanted to support it in some way, and I thought we could actually do better than just hanging up some of Louise's former collection. I could actually create an exhibition that the young women and girls who go to the center could make use of in a programmatic way. And so that's sort of how the exhibition came together.
Now, you put this exhibition together in sort of tandem or parallel way. Tell us about how the exhibit is and how you have Louise's collection involved in it.
I did want to sort of celebrate Louise's spirit at the same time, as the title indicates. And I figured because Louise was such a doer that she would really appreciate seeing her work functioning in an exciting and meaningful way rather than just create an exhibition that sort of honored her. So what I did was I chose specific works from Louise's collection that I thought would interest the young women and girls from the Resource Center. I also knew that some of the work that Louise collected had a tradition in history that contemporary artists would reference in the work that they were making today or, you know, maybe 10 years ago. So I wanted to create sort of a dialogue of Louise's sometimes historic work with the contemporary artists by women we had in the collection. And I thought that would be just sort of a lively way to see the work itself and to show how Louise's legacy is indeed, and her spirit is still very much alive at the Art Center, because she had the foresight of collecting these important works, which then history has shown through the works we have since collected are still very relevant to today and the conversations that we have today.
So tell us about some of these examples of these parallel things.
Well, for instance, Louise collected an artist. She was, in fact, became very good friends with artist Isabel Bishop. And we have a number of Isabel's work in the collection, including a beautiful painting of a nude. And it's a very realistic painting of a nude. At first glance, it might look like a traditional nude, but when you look and think about it a little bit more, what you realize is that you're seeing is a woman who is clipping her toenails. So it looks almost like an old master kind of drawing or painting, but she's created an environment for this nude which is much more relaxed. It's much more intimate. It's not so much about us as viewers, you know, looking at a nude per se. It's more of us as viewers looking at this woman in a very intimate, private moment. So Isabel Bishop is sort of turning the notion of the nude on its head a little bit in her work. So what I then did is I looked at our collection and chose five different works of women artists who also depict the nude, but do so in very different ways. But what is similar, in addition to the subject matter, is that they're also tweaking the whole traditional idea of the nude in the way that they're representing the nude. So, for instance, we have an amazing sculpture by an artist named Wengechi Mutu. She is Nigerian by birth and splits her time between New York and Nigeria. And she created this just incredible black statuesque sculpture of a water woman. So at first you might think that she's quote unquote a mermaid, but this is sort of an African version of what a mermaid is. And so she is not innocent with blonde hair and blue eyes and all sweet like the Little Mermaid. She has a personality that one must contend with when you enter into the gallery and you're confronted by this particular sculpture.
Give us another example.
In addition to feminist issues and gender issues, Louise Noun was very interested in social and political issues as well. So she collected artists who addressed political issues. So, for instance, she collected Katha Kollwitz's work. Katha Kollwitz was an artist from Germany from the early 20th century who was very critical of war, particularly World War I and World War II. She lost her son in World War I and she lost her grandson in World War II. And she basically spent a good part of her artistic career creating artwork that very poignantly talks about loss and mourning as a result of war. And so we have a number of Katha Kollwitz on view right now. For instance, there's a very moving image of a couple who, you know, look distressed and are comforting each other. And it's actually a self-portrait of herself and her husband who are mourning the losses they experience personally. And then there's also an image of a mother, a woman holding a lantern, and she's walking through a battlefield and she's trying to find her son, her dead son. So they're really very strong, moving images that really bring home the fact that war touches all of us in a very personal way and not a good way. And then as a sort of more contemporary example of such a work that Louise collected, we have a beautiful sculpture that is dealing with the Vietnam War. And it's a sculpture by Lee Bontecou. It's called Untitled, but it's a wall sculpture of welded and painted steel. And it looks almost like a futuristic kind of gas mask. It's turned upside down. But like I said, it's made out of found scraps of steel that she then welded together and painted. And it's also covered with soot, which suggests sort of a recent encounter with a scene of destruction. So those are some examples of some of the more political work that Louise was interested in and that we at the Art Center have also been interested in.
So besides her eye for picking out all these amazing artists and then you're pairing them with these other works in the Des Moines Art Center, what are some of the political things that she did out in the community?
One thing she did was she funded the legal case in which students during the Vietnam War sued the Des Moines school system. A number of students wore black armbands to Roosevelt in protest of the war, and they were suspended and sent home because they were protesting. And they decided to take on the school system, and it's a case that went all the way to the Supreme Court. It's called, I think, Tinker versus maybe Devoyne School System. Sorry, I don't have the exact case title. But Louise funded the whole process of the litigation that went along with these students, and they eventually did win the case. Other things she did was she was very involved with starting NOW, which was a national feminist organization, and she founded a chapter here in Des Moines. She also started her own foundation, which we now know as Chrysalis, which is another foundation that supports women and girls in Des Moines. And she was also very active in ACLU. The list goes on and on. She was somebody who really, you know, contributed to shaping the culture of Des Moines.
And received many national honors and awards as well.
Yes. You know, in fact, she was a very strong feminist. And from what I understand, she inspired a lot of feminists in the 1970s. And they would actually make a point of coming to visit Louise Noun here in Des Moines because, like I said, she was sort of a mentor and an inspiration to them when they were, you know, fighting for women's rights.
So in her lifetime in Des Moines and her association with the Des Moines Arts Center, how many works did she give to the Des Moines Arts Center?
Her collection, which we call the Des Moines Arts Center's Louise Noun Collection of Art by Women, that collection consists of over 200 works. She also did collect with her husband earlier on in their marriage. And I honestly don't know the number that the two of them donated to us, but it's a fairly significant number as well, mostly works on paper. And also her mother provided funding for the Art Center to make acquisitions too. So the whole family was involved with supporting the Art Center, specifically with acquisitions.
Allison, is there anything that you would like to add about Louise and her contribution to the Des Moines Arts Center?
I wish I had the opportunity to have met Louise myself. I think I would have really liked her as a person. Seems like she was a very strong, opinionated, probably somewhat difficult person as a result of her strong opinions. But I think her contributions to the Arts Center, while not always visible on an everyday basis, I think has really contributed to the sort of pioneering spirit that the Des Moines Arts Center is known for. It's not afraid of taking chances, of really embracing contemporary art and some of the challenges contemporary art poses to us. And I think Louise Noun was behind that sort of philosophy, and her spirit is still with us. And if she wasn't so strong, I wonder if we as an institution today would be as strong in terms of our commitment to challenging contemporary art.
We do need to talk about the end of her life and some choices she made there.
Yes. Louise believed in individuals' rights and very strongly in individuals' civil rights. And along those lines, she believed that individuals should be able to choose to end their own life should they want to. She became ill in her 90s, and she decided that her quality of life was not what she wanted anymore. And so she went about finding ways of ending her own life. So she committed suicide of her own choice at the end of her life, which is still a very controversial issue, as you know, today.
Allison, how can folks get more information about this exhibit and about Louise Noun?
Well, you can learn more about the exhibition by coming and seeing it in person, which we invite you to do with great enthusiasm. There's, of course, also information on the Des Moines Arts Center's website. We also have some books about Louise Noun. Louise actually wrote an autobiography, really worth reading. And we're here if people have further questions. I'm happy to answer any questions if people come in and want to learn more.
The Des Moines Arts Center's In the Spirit of Louise Noun continues now through Sunday, September 2nd at the Des Moines Arts Center. And wonderful words of thanks to Louise Noun, who gave the Art Center all these works and really is an inspiration to us all. Thanks for Iowa Public Radio's Iowa Art Showcase. Recording goes to IPR's John Pemble and Chris Fenton. And also a big thank you to the Des Moines Art Center's Director of Curatorial Affairs and Senior Curator for joining with us today, Allison Ferris, and bringing the essence and legacy of Louise Noun to life for us. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.